Father, we thank you for giving us this beautiful day, and we pray, Lord, that the storm coming in the next week won't affect the life of your church too badly, that you would keep us safe and help us, Lord, to continue to prosper in seeking you. Father, I pray that as we look at our own spiritual health, that we would look for the ways in which we could become better in shape spiritually, that you would help us to become healthy Christians spiritually, that we might be able to serve others and teach them, help them, encourage them to become healthy as well, to come into your Son Jesus, if that's a decision that folks have not already made. Father, help us to live up to what we've already attained each and every day in our lives, that we might use that as a platform, a base to continue to grow stronger in your Son Jesus. It's through him we pray. Amen. Amen. The Christian walk has often been described as a race. And when we think of a race, and sometimes maybe folks have thought that this is what the Christian life would be all about, is that we would take off from those starting blocks in our lane, and then all the scenery around us would be these nice, gently rolling hills covered in grass. Maybe a fawn would poke its head out of the the side, and just the sunshine, it would just be warm enough to just be a beautiful day. Maybe a little mist and fog off in the distance, and just a nice time, right? And that's how the Christian walk, we would like to have it be. But we know that that's probably not the kind of race that we have entered. There's something called a Spartan race or a Tough Mudder race. Maybe you've seen some of these pictures. And so in reality, spiritually speaking, we probably are going to encounter a lot of struggles and a lot of trials and a lot of persecutions in the race that we are running. It's not going to be as nice and idyllic as we would like it to be. In Manchester this weekend, it was Vital Signs of a Healthy Church was the main theme. And so a lot of the discussions and talks were talking about getting ourselves spiritually healthy so that we can in turn help others to become spiritually healthy. And in the book of Philippians, in chapter 3 especially, we see what we might call spiritual tips, or what we call them today, spiritual life hacks for the Christian. Ways in which we can become stronger spiritually. And we're going to talk about those today in terms of cinder blocks, chains, and blindfolds. Let's see how all this works out here in chapter 3 of Philippians. But we're going to talk about the Christian walk and how we might be able to make that a little bit better for us. The first thing we need to do is we need to keep the goal in view. Keeping the goal in view, I press on. We see this term over and over again in chapter 3 of Philippians. I press on. And so the first thing we need to do to get ourselves spiritually healthy and help us to become stronger is to know the goal. We've got to know the goal. Let's take a look in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And Paul starts off here by saying, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." Now, before I read verses 10 and 11, I want to take up what he's talking about there. Everything in this life, everything that we're about, not just our possessions, but our thoughts, our hobbies, everything that we're about, Paul says, I consider all of that rubbish. I'd rather throw out everything in order to know Christ. and have a righteousness that doesn't come from myself, but comes from Christ. That's everything. That is my goal. That's where I fix my sights, on knowing Jesus. And then he goes a little bit deeper in verse 10 and 11 about this knowing of Christ. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Why is it that we don't know Christ, don't know the power of his resurrection, attaining to that resurrection? It's because we carry around too much stuff. Things are so important to us. Friendships are so important to us. Ideas and baggage that we carry around that are a part of this world and this life are so important to us that we can't see the goal. We're carrying around this heavy load and it's all in front of us and we just can't get to what we need to get to because we're so encumbered by the ways of this world. We sing the song, don't we? This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. And so everything ought to be temporary to us. And yet it's not. We make our home here and we can't know Christ. We can't share in the fellowship of his sufferings. We can't become like him in his death. And so we're certainly not going to attain to the resurrection of the dead. But you see, that was the goal for Paul as he wrote this. He wants to attain to the resurrection of the dead. That's everything to him. And so all of what he is about, all of his focus, everything is there. And somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's what he's all about. And so instead of blindfolds that we usually wear, okay, as we go about this life, we need to take those blindfolds off and replace them instead with blinders. Blinders are what horses would wear, right? So that way the driver of the horse could steer the horse, and the horse could only look where? Straight ahead. Anything coming from the sides, anything else, any distractions that were out there wouldn't distract the horse from the goal of going in the direction that the driver wants him to go in. And so we have to go through life like that. We need to put our blinders on and fix our eyes on the goal, right? Instead of wearing blindfolds and, spiritually speaking, blinking off walls in our walk with Christ. So it brings us here to Philippians chapter 3. And he has a couple of verses here, 12 and 14, that really speak about the goal. Says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You see, there's only one direction that we need to go. As we go through life with our spiritual blinders on, we need to be heading heavenward, right? That is the direction that we need to be heading. And he presses on. I press on. That needs to be our mantra, doesn't it? As we go through life, I press on. I press on. I press on. No matter what happens to me. Things aren't going well at work. Things aren't going well at school. Maybe not going well in my family. Maybe my finances. Maybe whatever it is. I press on. I press on. That's where Paul was. And so to spiritually make us healthier, to make us stronger, we need to press on. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's take a look at Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, heavenward was the goal, right? He was looking forward to sitting at the right hand of the Father, for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, when we put the blindfold on instead of the blinders, and we're paying attention to all the things of this life, and we can't see the goal heavenward in front of us, what do? We grow weary and lose heart. And that's not spiritually healthy. We need to keep that in mind. If you are not spiritually healthy, are you paying too much attention to the things that are around you rather than putting your focus heavenward and pressing on? To press on heavenward, we must forget what's backward and strain forward. We need to eliminate distractions, in other words. We're right there at Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. That's all that baggage, right? Let's get rid of it. And the sin that so easily entangles. You ever try to run a race? If you got your feet tied together, shoelaces tied together, it's not going to work very well, right? That sin entangles us. How can we press on if we are entangled? And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There is a race marked out for us. It may not be gently sloping hills full of grass, but there is a race marked out for us, and we need to press on in it. We need to eliminate those distractions. It's a race with pitfalls. And some of those pitfalls, it's like somebody who has a cinder block attached to a giant chain, right? And you're dragging that chain along with you, right? And you may want to press on at times, and you're starting to drag that chain, but boy, that's weighing you down, right? The things that are there. And you're straining against that. But why are you straining against that? You don't even need to take it up. You can drop that chain and that heavy cinder block, spiritually speaking, and press on so much easier. What is it about being tethered to something? Entangled or tethered to something? The sin that we're involved with or other distractions in our life? They stop us from pressing on. Take a look at this picture. This horse is much more powerful than that little plastic lawn chair that it's tied to. But the very idea that it is tied or tethered to this lawn chair tells the horse, oh, I've got to stay here. Right? And that's what the horse does. We do the same thing, spiritually speaking, when we are tethered to the things of this life. And this brings us to the main verse I want to look at today, which is Philippians 3 and verse 13. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Paul admits he's struggling, he's working through it. God's still working on him. He's still trying to, you know, he's not perfect, he's trying to get a hold of it. But one thing I do, he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. And so really those two directions are what keeps us from going that third direction, which is heavenward. Forgetting what is behind, forgetting what's backward. How many of our pasts keep us from pressing on? Whenever we say, I want to move heavenward in my life, suddenly the little ideas are nagging at us saying, oh yeah, well remember last time you tried this? How you failed miserably? Or you've never been able to do this before. What makes you think you can do it now? Right? Maybe the past life of sin and the way you used to live and the things that are behind you, the guilt that we just can't let go of and let Jesus forgive us of, we just hold on to it. Or maybe we've been forgiven of it, but we just can't forget ourselves and move on. And what's Paul say? forgetting what is behind, that those things of your past, the cinder blocks that you're dragging, those things that you're tethered to are going to keep you from going heavenward, keep you from pressing on. We need to forget what is behind, but we also need to strain toward what is ahead. You see, sometimes we can get in the habit too of, all right, I've forgotten my past, but oh, it's Sunday morning, I better head to church. Did you prepare Saturday night? Have you been preparing all week? What's your relationship with God been throughout the week? How's your study life? How is your prayer life? How is your serving out with others? Are you straining towards what is ahead? Trying to be better today than you were yesterday? Straining. Right? Building those spiritual muscles. Think of somebody who goes to the gym and physically strains, and how he trains himself and builds his body up. How is it that we are to train spiritually and build ourselves up spiritually? We've got to do some straining. Straining ahead to go heavenward in our focus. And so these are things that we need to make sure that we are doing. Peter, in Matthew chapter 14, we know this story. Jesus walking on the water past them. There's a big storm and all this. And they thought maybe it was a ghost or something else. And don't be afraid, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come out, come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Now, before we're too hard on Peter with the rest of the story, as he sinks beneath the waves, let us first realize that Peter was willing to take the blindfold off. He was willing to exchange it for blinders and say, okay, I'm going to try these blinders on and I'm going to fix my eyes on you, Jesus. The rest of the apostles stayed in the boat. All right? They were willing to not strain forward, but just be content to stay in the boat where they thought they were safe. But Peter says, I'm safer out with Jesus. If it's you, tell me to come out to you. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. What did he do? He allowed the distractions of this world. Perhaps it's the cinder block with the chain that he was dragging before, because he knows before that wind is a dangerous thing. Wind can capsize the boat. Wind can make me sink. Wind can make me die. And so he couldn't forget what was behind, and he allowed that to cause him to sink beneath the waves and cry out, Lord, save me. We need to view storms as Jesus did, and here's how we do it. Here's how we can help to forget what is backward and strain forward. James chapter 1 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. There's a key to that, isn't there? That if we look at things from God's perspective instead of a human perspective, we don't need to see the wind that is raging in the same way, because we have our eyes fixed on Jesus. And no matter what comes my way, it's going to be okay. And if we continue to persevere, we have a crown of life. And so we never should cease striving. We should never cease wrestling. Last week we talked about Jacob and wrestling with God and how God named him Israel. He struggles with God. That's a great name. He struggles with God. We need to continually struggle in this life, because that's the straining forward that we continually do to head heavenward. And so we need to continue always to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. So first of all is keeping our goal in view. Secondly is forgetting what's backward and straining forward. Thirdly, we need to, if we want to become spiritually healthy, to live up to what we have already attained. There's a save point in a lot of video games, right? Usually you're coming up to a door or something in a video game, and then suddenly there's a save point. Why is that important? Because whatever's through that door, you're probably going to mess up. And instead of going all the way back to the beginning of the game, you get to start from the door again, and you get to try it once more. The older video games, I don't think, were like that. You messed up, and you had to go all the way back to the very beginning of the video game, right? And that's how a lot of Christians see the Christian life, right? Well, I messed up, so what's the use in trying? I'll just go back to the way I was living before I came into Christ. But it's a process, and we grow through the process. And hopefully what you have attained to the level that you have gotten to in your spiritual life is better than you were last week. So why go back 3 years? Right? Only let us live up to what we have already attained, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3. All of us who are mature should take a view of such things, knowing the goal, forgetting what is behind, straining forward. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. You see, we've already seen that word attain. We saw it in verse 11 when Paul said, and somehow he wants to attain to the resurrection from the dead. It's something he wants to grasp, to get a hold of. He knows he's not there yet, but he's reaching for it. But there's already a level to which he has attained through his obedience, his perseverance. Right? And so he is using that as a toehold, as a platform to continue to forget what is behind and strain forward to press on to the goal. It's a process. So why go back? Jesus said that when somebody said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus said, replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Let us live up to what we have already attained. Why go all the way back to the beginning? The song, God's Still Working on Me, right, is a good song to make us realize that, hey, you know, it's not that I sit back and let God work on me. It's I am straining ahead, forgetting what is behind, and God is still working on me. He's helping me to live up to what I have already attained now. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 talks about it in this way. It says, if we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. That sounds just like Philippians chapter 3. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. It's sort of like a ratchet. As you turn a ratchet, it doesn't go all the way back, but it just goes to the next level, click, right? And then we can strain forward and click into the next level. That's how we need to do in our spiritual life, is keep ratcheting up to that next level and always living up to what we have already attained. We don't want to stagnate. We don't want to shrink back. Hebrews chapter 10 says, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. We sing a song sometimes, standing on the promises of Christ our Lord. And sometimes I think as Christians, those who don't want to live up to what we've attained ought to change the words to we're sitting on the premises of Christ our Lord. Instead, that's what we tend to want to do. And it's what we shouldn't do. Those are those who shrink back and are destroyed. We must get a realistic view of the Christian walk. It's a race with terrible obstacles. If it was for the faint-hearted, then God would not have to tell us to persevere. But he does tell us to persevere. It's going to be hard, he tells us. And we just need to persevere to gain the crown of life. We must press on and to aim heavenward. To do that, we must forget what is backward and strain forward. And so, if you've not begun that walk with Christ, and you need to do that, this is an opportunity to come into Him, to begin that walk with Him. And if you've made that decision, but you've not been pressing on, this is an opportunity to have the prayers of the church encourage you to do that. Are you pressing on to the goal? Please stand as we sing a song of invitation.